Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, good evening, everybody. It is February 9th, 2022. I am a very much under the weather, Don Tony here, but not sick enough that I can't come up here to give you your latest edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. AEW just went off the air. Kick-ass match with Hangman Page retaining the heavyweight title. I know we're not allowed to use the word heavyweight in AEW. Like I said before, people still don't realize it. Go on their social media and just type in the word heavyweight in the search box. The only time in the history of AEW's, you know, their official social media, Twitter accounts, the only time they've ever mentioned heavyweight is when they referenced, I believe, New Japan Pro Wrestling. I kid you not. Go check it out if you don't think I'm wrong. If you don't think I'm right, I should say. I took a COVID test right before we started. It is negative. I got a little bit of a fever. You might hear me sneezing a couple of times on the show. Hey, the weather is a little shoddy. Here in New York, it's supposed to be almost 60 degrees on Saturday. So you could get an idea of how crazy the weather has been. But you know, we have a few things to talk about tonight. We had the Forbidden Door. Now, remember what I said. Remember what I said before. Not trying to play semantics here, but if you're a free agent, are you really kicking down a forbidden door? No, you're a free agent. Somebody leaves AEW, they're not going to be under a 90-day no-compete. Yeah. Anybody ever think about that before? Yeah, as far as I know, there's no no-compete clause. So if somebody finishes out their contract and shows up on WWE television 3-4 days later, is that the forbidden door? No. It's somebody finishing out their contract, showing up somewhere else. Jay White tonight went through the forbidden door, because for people that don't realize it, you know, Jay White is still part of Impact Wrestling. Jay White is still involved a little bit with New Japan. I mean, my God, tonight, Jay White makes a little cameo on AEW TV, and New Japan sending out emails, buy Jay White merchandise, Impact Wrestling on their social media account. Oh, Jay White, Jay White, Jay White. So basically having people show up as a forbidden door is an advertisement for their appearances elsewhere, which is not a bad thing. Look, I'm not complaining. I thought it was pretty cool. But Jay White is the one that kicked down the forbidden door today, because the other person that showed up was a free agent. And I loved every minute of it. We will talk about it. Now, you know, before I do that, I want to show you all something. You remember 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the Upper Deck cards that are going to be coming out this summer, metal cards, autographs, things like that. You might remember I bought 72 CM Punk Upper Deck cards, gave them away, and plug in the Upper Deck autographs. You know, we were having conversation. I mean, keeping it straight up. No kissing ass. You know, those autographs on Upper Deck side is obviously overpriced, but if you are fair, I think sometimes you're rewarded for it. Today, I got two surprise boxes sent to me. One is related to AEW. One is related to WWE. Now, the WWE one we will not show tonight, because tonight is not about Raw, SmackDown, Legends. It's about NXT, AEW, other indie stuff. But I got this. And when I saw it, I said, you know, this is kind of small. Like, all right, this is small. It's tiny. It's not even like the size of like a cheese. What this is, I guess, a box of AEW packs of cards. Till I looked closer, and where did I see it? Where did I see it? Hold on. Let me see. Where did I see it? Oh, yeah. Look at the top left-hand corner. It's a hobby box. And I immediately went on eBay to see what these things go for, and they're like anywhere it's from like $250 to $300 a hobby box. Apparently, these are loaded with inserts, autographs. So what I was thinking is maybe once a week we'll open up a pack of cards. It doesn't have to be just these, but we could open up vintage WWF cards. We could open up WWE cards, but, you know, packs that obviously have something cool inside of it. And maybe we end up giving it away. So later on, right before we go, we'll open up one of these packs. You know, we'll see what's inside here. Maybe we'll get lucky and get something really kick-ass in here. So much love to Upper Deck for sending that. Because I certainly don't think AEW sent that directly to me. The WWE stuff, it's a different story. All right. I'm in a good mood, even though I don't feel all that well. And I tell you why. See, my track record speaks for itself about my love and appreciation for Keith Lee. This is, what, episode 121 or 122 of Wednesday Night Dynamite. And if you go back to the first, I don't know, 70, 80 episodes before Keith Lee was brought to the main roster, my favorite wrestler in NXT was Keith Lee. I said repeatedly on these shows, and it, trust me, this is not about, and I told you so, it's about appreciation. I don't know, man. There's something about Keith Lee smiling that puts a smile on my fucking face. Yeah, the Blue Meanie said something really, really cool tonight. Blue Meanie said that when you have big men who come into wrestling years ago, they wanted to be the next Bam Bam Bigelow. Maybe they want to be the next Vader, the next agile big man. And years from now, you're going to have these huge guys that are agile that are going to look back and say, I was inspired by Keith Lee. And I thought that was really awesome. You know, I know a lot of people feel that AEW is signing way too many people. It is a bloated roster, and it certainly is. It absolutely does. But there's no way you can say to me that that is not a good signing. Guy is so freaking good, so agile. And is just a good guy in wrestling. There's no controversy with him. He is just an absolute top-notch performer. And I still, it does blow my mind that WWE screwed this up so bad. You know, even tonight, watching him take on Isaiah Cassidy, you know, was the thing that mattered to me the most? Not just him smiling. You could see that he was having fun. He's soaking in the cheers. He's soaking in that energy. But what I loved about, and when I say this, some people are going to think I'm ridiculous, but I have a feeling there's enough of you out there that'll agree with me on this. But watching him wrestle without having a shirt on, without having some type of a top on, because you can tell that WWE, you know, with his physique and maybe a little bit of junk in the trunk, well, that's the ass, but, you know, a little big tummy, that WWE tried to hide that. And they overdressed Keith Lee. Give him a nice pair of trunks, a nice jacket, enter in the ring, obviously, and let him do what he does best. And, yeah, Isaiah Cassidy weighs, what, $150? You know, so, of course, Keith Lee is going to toss him around like a salad. But I absolutely love this tonight. Is it a blockbuster, unbelievable signing? Time will tell. Time will tell. Because remember, and this is something I think a lot of people out there need to remember, there are a lot of people on the food chain that are higher than Keith Lee. Keith Lee would have to surpass a lot of people to get some type of a run. Do you see him breaking through to Sammy Guevara's title? No, probably not. Are we going to see him break through to Hangman Page's title? Probably not. So where exactly does he fit in the main event picture? Now, look, I said it so many times late last year that 2022, the biggest story in AEW is going to be the contracts and the number of people that are let go. Shout out to Big Armand. I'll get into your comment in a second. A lot to digest there. But, you know, you look at the overall roster, there's going to be a lot of people let go. And sure, it's going to be a lot of wrestlers that, see, this is the thing I think a lot of people still haven't figured out. I know I beat to death the WWE budget cuts definition because so many people still didn't understand what that meant. But remember this, you know, because Tony Khan even said it today again in an interview that because he's signing a lot of wrestlers, he's got to let people go. And yes, that's Captain Obvious, but an aspect of that that nobody thinks about. Who on AEW television that is featured weekly on AEW television is going to be let go? Like that emoji. Think about that. Mostly everybody that they're going to let go is not featured on AEW television weekly. So it's not like a couple of people on TV, their contract's coming up, they're going to be non-renewed, we make room to put other people on TV. See, that's the problem. And that's the aspect that a lot of people don't think about. You could get rid of 50 people, but if none of them are taking up time on Dynamite and Rampage, well, you got to kind of like squeeze some people in. Is Keith Lee going to have a faction? Yeah, you see where I'm going with this? So the television aspect doesn't change all that much because almost nobody that is going to be let go is featured on TV right now. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So now I want to just get into what Big Armada said because he makes some valid points. And it kind of piggybacks what I just said. Then I want to criticize Tony Khan for a minute. And trust me, this is not a crap on Tony Khan thing, but I think it's something that definitely needs to be mentioned. He's happy for Keith Lee's debut, but he doesn't see him doing much of importance in AEW, seeing how the company doesn't know how to book their big guys outside of Miro. Miro's not as big as you think. I mean, the guy is cut. I mean, put Miro on the scale. You know, he's not 350 pounds. Yes, AEW's been notorious not treating big men all that well. But, you know, this is an exception to the rule. And like I said, I think Keith Lee will have a nice spot on AEW. But I personally don't know if, you know, as far as championships, where do you see it? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I agree with a lot of Big Armada says. I think they will do right for Keith Lee. But again, you know, you got a couple of championships there, but it seems like they have a stranglehold. So, you know, look, if Keith Lee has fun there, obviously he's going to be able to work elsewhere. So he's not going to be exclusive just to AEW unless that's what he wants to do. So you will be able to see him wrestle in other places. But, you know, only time will tell how this man is going to be used. I mean, look, we could segue to Adam Cole for a minute. Steve Joseph, thank you very much for the super chat. Do I see Adam Cole beating Hangman Page? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not saying it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be a decent match. They're going to face each other, it appears, at a Revolution. Adam Cole, a lot of people are very disappointed with the way he has been used in AEW. Now, it's complicated with Adam Cole because a lot of people that make that noise are not AEW fans. They just see the level of talent that he faced in NXT, and then they see the level of talent that he's facing in AEW, And that's where their criticism lies. But they're not AEW regular fans. So they're just looking more of it as an outsider. But as far as Adam Cole goes, you know, it's really up to the eye of the beholder. I mean, you see he's not working much else as far as wrestling promotions go. He goes on Twitch. He plays his video games. He does his appearances in AEW. And if that's enough for him, if that's what makes him content, if that's makes enough money for him, you know, I mean, how do you really criticize that? So, but now I want to, let's talk about criticism now. And then let's get into the show so we can get out of here as quickly as we can. I think Tony Khan definitely deserves a little bit of criticism. All right. And if you just look at his tweets for the last 7 days, all right, of course, we are happy Keith Lee is back on television. Of course, we are happy that AEW signed someone that they should have signed. You know, it doesn't feel, see, the difference with Keith Lee is it doesn't feel like he's a friend of a friend or best friend of somebody there. I'm sure he has very close friends there. But it doesn't feel like somebody's being brought in simply because they are a friend of this person or they're the, we've played 6 degrees of that all over the place the last couple of years in AEW. This is an outside signing that makes a whole lot of sense. But you really pay close attention to Tony Khan's social media. As I said in the preview, the synopsis for tonight, he does a fabulous job promoting the Forbidden Door. He does a fabulous job telling everybody to tune into Dynamite. He does a fabulous job trying to get people to tune into Rampage. Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door. And if you're lucky, you might get one mention of your heavyweight champion. This guy, Tony Khan, should be making love to Hangman Page through Twitter. I don't mean that in a sexual way, but this is your heavyweight champion. This is your, okay, heavyweight, we're not supposed to say. This is your world champion. This guy should be the cornerstone of your company. This guy should be the complete representation of that company. And there's more excitement about Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door. Oh, and oh yeah, we have Hangman Page fighting tonight. So Tony Khan, you know, this is just constructive criticism, which, you know, obviously we never get love on these shows, which is fine. We don't need it. I talk to all of you. I don't talk to them, you know, but I'm just publicly expressing an opinion. You do a better job of making Hangman Page feel extremely important. Not 5 minutes before the match starts, because that is the perception about Tony Khan. It almost seems like Tony Khan's got to make a major announcement, tease a major announcement, tease a breadcrumb, a breadcrumb, a breadcrumb, a breadcrumb, a breadcrumb, in order to get the most attention. Because every time you see those infamous poses, Tony Khan, Booker of the Year, there's always a surprise attached to it. There's always a Forbidden Door reference attached to it. How's about, you know, showing as much love to this guy? Dayhawk, I didn't miss your super chat yet, all right? We go in order. You know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything like that, but, you know, we're in the topic of Tony Khan and Adam Cole and Hangman Page, and you know, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Otherwise, I'll just disable super chats permanently. I mention it. All right. Is Miro still yelling at God? Yeah, he is. Heal me. Heal me. You walked on water. You gave fish to people. You had Adam, Eve, all of you did all this magical stuff. Heal me, motherfucker. Heal me. Miro is still injured. He is rehabbing. I expect Miro back very, very soon. Very soon. Just be glad that Miro doesn't have a championship right now. How he fits in, I don't know. I don't know. Does he immediately try to go after Guevara again? That's a possibility. You know, Guevara, it's a little bit of a mess right now. You know, with Darby teasing the Andrade stuff, and you have other things going on as well. But Miro is still trying to get back from the injury. So they probably should have been a little bit more forthright with that. But he'll be back soon. I really do believe that. And the funny thing is, you know, I don't know if they're adding months onto his deal for all the time that he's been out with the injury. So, all right. Let's talk a little bit about Dynamite tonight. Overall, I thought it was a very good show. It was a fun show. I thought MJF versus CM Punk and Jon Moxley was a hell of a lot of fun. The referee, you know, Aubrey Edwards, I would do a little bit without, because you have Blanchard in the ring just watching. You have double teaming in the ring, doing this stuff, and she's just watching, just not doing nothing about it. I mean, it's not a false count anywhere to Texas tornado, whatever you want to call it. It, you know, it's a straight up wrestling match. And, you know, just this, I mean, of course, we're supposed to be used to it by now, but still, I mean, it's something. And it's funny because, you know, Jim Ross is reading bullet points at the end. This is what tag team wrestling is all about. Do it behind the referee's back. And Aubrey Edwards should be smart enough to try to figure out how can she keep herself distracted while shit is going on in the ring. You know, it's, you know, that's my only complaint, referee stuff. AQA taking on Jay Cargill tonight. I was very surprised how much offense they gave to AQA. And for anybody out there that doesn't know who she is or if she looks familiar, and you just can't put your finger on it, she was Zeta Ramir in NXT. And when she talked about beating some of the big names in wrestling, I think her biggest win in NXT was probably against Toni Storm. But she would be a good signing. She actually would be a good signing. She's not bad. I mean, obviously, you know, she's got to get some more seasoning. You could see that there were points in that match. See, my opinion about AQA is she's a very good wrestler, but she should be facing someone that is either her equal in the experience department or a little bit better. She, against Serena Deeb, probably would be outstanding. Her against Toni Storm was a lot of fun. You put her up against Jade Cargill, where Jade Cargill is still learning, and Jade Cargill has to depend on Zeta Ramir or AQA to, you know, be a little bit more of the general in the match. And you saw towards that end, you had brain fart, one's in the corner and doesn't know what to do. The other one climbs the rope and just like jumps down. It's almost like what they did with the Ruby Soho, if you remember. It's Jay Cargill is definitely improved from even 6 months ago. But again, you know, if you're going to do this, you know, title run and you're going to use names other than the ones that were in the TBS tournament itself, you better make sure that it's people that do have enough experience under that belt that they can take control of that match where needed. And towards the end of that match, it got very, very sloppy. Crowd was not into it. So, all right. Let's fill in the blanks a little bit tonight with AEW. So at the very beginning of the night, we had Wardlow come out with a couple of cutouts of MJF. He places them in the ring. Yeah, I think, what's his face? Justin Roberts, like very unenergetic about announcing, you know, the Pinnacle members. You know, I all right, whatever. But FTR comes out, Sean Spears comes out, then MJF comes out, and he's on his throne, and he's being helped to the ring. He plays tonsil hockey with some girl. You know, MJF at his finest, cutting his heel promo, talking a lot of shit about CM Punk, getting a lot of heat from the Atlantic City fans. CM Punk comes out, and but this time he's got backup. He brings out Sting and Darby Allin. CM Punk demands a rematch against the guy that beat him in Chicago. And no, it's not MJF. He's talking to Wardlow. Because if it wasn't for Wardlow, MJF would not have won. So Punk is trying to tell Wardlow, why don't you grow some balls and leave these jerks? And the crowd is getting into it. And Wardlow, I don't know why he was teasing, like he was so confused, you know, just based on a few words. But hey, they're really milking this and stretching this way, way, way out. So CM Punk wants the challenge. So FTR wants a match. They don't want to be dressed in suits. They want to be fighting. So MJF says, we're in Atlantic City. Let's roll the dice. MJF issues a challenge. FTR versus CM Punk and a partner of his choice. And if they win, then MJF, CM Punk will get a rematch against MJF. But the catch is CM Punk cannot choose, as MJF said, Tweedledum and Tweedledipshit, as in Sting and Darby Allin. So, look, early this morning, this was the thumbnail that I teased for the show tonight. Didn't know who exactly was going to sign tonight, but these were probably the three big picks that everybody, including me, wanted. Yeah, I know I said Mustafa Ali, but remember, people only hear what they want to hear. I said that was fantasy, that there'd be so many legalese attached to that. So that is why Mustafa Ali is not in here. But, you know, at this point, a lot of people are thinking, oh, my God, if CM Punk brings out Samoa Joe, and I was one of them, too, I'm like, wow. Could you imagine if we get this couple of appearances tonight, couple of debuts? It would be pretty outstanding, but more later on. So now CM Punk needs to find a partner. So Wardlow is dressed in a suit, but he has his gear on underneath. He's got a match next. He beats The Blade with the Powerbomb Symphony over with the fans. You know, for anyone out there that never saw Sid Vicious's ECW run, go back and watch a little bit of Sid Justice in ECW. A lot of it reminds me of what Wardlow's doing, or a lot of it reminds me of Sid Vicious. Believe me, if you go watch those squash matches, you will realize, holy shit, it's almost a clone of what he was doing in ECW. And guess what? It worked. It worked. Go back and watch and listen to, because I was there live a few times. Crowd would go apeshit. They'd go batty for Sid Vicious. And all he would do is just powerbomb people. And he'd do it repeatedly. One more time. One more time. One more time. So it was good. Did what it needed to do. We are going to be getting the return of Penta Dark. Little promo of Penta shown. Not necessarily in a cemetery, but he is digging up something. And he digs up his old mask. So Penta Dark is returning to, I guess, combat Malakai Black. That mist makes you do some crazy things. Inner Circle team meeting. As we all expected last week, that Guevara, Hager, and Jericho would come out without Santana Ortiz, which would come out on their own intro music. They hit the ring. Santana immediately gets on the mic. He realized for months that Chris Jericho's only out for Chris Jericho. He says, every time we're about to get our opportunity, our shot, we have to come to the rescue of Chris Jericho. The days of playing second fiddle are over and done with. And he felt that Jericho was always the one that stood in their way, but the fans were always there for them. And he tells Jericho to thank Ortiz, because if it wasn't for Ortiz, Santana would have dropped Jericho on his ass a long time ago. So Jericho comes out on the mic. Well, Jericho's in the ring. He grabs the mic. And Jericho's got something to say. You know, once again, you remind me of Eddie Guerrero. You know, no problems with that. He says, what has Eddie Kingston ever done for Santana and Ortiz in AEW? Jericho starts running down their history in AEW, brings up their tag title shot that they got in February of last year that they lost. And he says, I brought you in the inner circle and I could kick you out of the inner circle. And then Jericho finishes with the dagger. Maybe I invited the wrong two members of LAX. And he name drops Homicide and Hernandez. And Santana grabs Jericho by the throat. Guevara is like, come on, everybody. We got to get along. And Jericho says, shut up, Sammy. And that was it. Sammy's like, you know what? I quit the inner circle before. Until you all figure this shit out, I'm out. He takes the jacket off. He leaves. What we end up having is a challenge next week. Santana and Ortiz versus Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. We will see if Eddie Kingston gets involved. We will see if Sammy Guevara gets involved. We will see where it goes from here. But I think it's right that Sammy Guevara goes out on his own. Santana and Ortiz, yeah, I mean, I don't know how long their deal is in AEW. So you got to start doing shit with them. And Hager, you know, really hasn't done all that much in the ring. So Hager, you know, they obviously need to start shifting this in a different direction, especially with contracts coming up. So now we get a backstage segment. Trent Barretta and Rocky Romero, Roppongi Vice, hyping up their match on Friday against the Young Bucks. And the next thing we know, Adam Cole shows up. Trent Barretta, for some reason, just waiting to get hit with the low blow. You go back and watch it. And while they're assaulting Roppongi Vice, we get a cameo. Now, remember how I worded it? A cameo. We get a cameo by Jay White. At first, we weren't sure whose side he actually was on. Young Bucks would kind of clarify and explain that a little bit later. But Jay White basically attacks Roppongi Vice as well, and he walks off. That's all we have with Jay White tonight. So, interesting to see him make an appearance. But as I said earlier, you know, he still has commitments elsewhere. So that's why you did not see a Jay White is an All Elite, you know. It could happen, absolutely could. But, hey, gives you a little bit of a buzz, right? So we get an appearance by Jay White. Next, we have Isaiah Cassidy coming out, and the winner of that match goes on to the Face of the Revolution ladder match at the pay-per-view. We don't know who his opponent's going to be. You know, a lot of, I mean, fantasy is Jeff Hardy, Keith Lee. Those were the two top vote getters from the poll we did over the weekend. Music hits, and it's Keith Lee. And crowd is loving it. Keith Lee, smile ear to ear. Had a match you would expect with somebody the size of Keith Lee against someone the size of Isaiah Cassidy. Keith Lee tossing around Isaiah Cassidy, hits the pounce. Cassidy goes outside the ring, and Matt Hardy walks off. Appears that Matt Hardy is done with Private Party. Are we going to see the Hardys versus Private Party? That could very well happen sooner than later. His new music was okay. It was made by Ruckus. Ruckus is extremely talented, Soulfly and everyone else asking. But it was a fun match. Isaiah Cassidy getting a little bit of offense. Nice little corkscrew outside the ring. But eventually Keith Lee would get the upper hand, and he was just swatting away anything that Isaiah Cassidy was doing. Keith Lee ultimately hits the ground zero, gets the win. After the match is over, Mark Quinn tries to attack Keith Lee. Not only does he get powerbombed twice, but the first time he's powerbombed onto the back of Isaiah Cassidy, and then he's powerbombed on the corner of the ring apron. And fun match. Fun match. Did what it needed to do. Nice to see Keith Lee. I didn't even say this earlier. It's nice to see Keith Lee healthy. Healthy. Because remember, you know, my concern was a little bit that, you know, this man had some very serious heart troubles last year. So he may keep himself on more of a part-time basis. but no signs of any issue at all, health-wise. Looked great. We talked about his wedding over the weekend. We talked about it on Monday as well. You know, congrats. You know, Mia Yim, I got to mention this. I don't have the pictures handy, but it was cute. Mia Yim tried to throw fans off, and I think that led to even more speculation that Keith Lee was going to be the one tonight. She posted two pictures. Actually, she posted a picture trying to play off that her and Keith Lee were on their honeymoon, and somebody had the wherewithal to go back to the summer of last year and pull some pictures that they posted, and it was not the same picture, but it was a pose, and the area, what she was wearing, everything was identical. So people were like, okay, nice try. But that's what's awesome about being wrestling fans, you know? Little fantasy, wondering what if, teasing. That's what it's about. So it was fun. It was fun. Mystery Man, I totally disagree. Keith Lee does not have to change his. He did change his look. He got his facial hair back. They dyed all the gray. He grew out his beard. He's not wearing the too much clothing. Yeah, he could have a little bit of a gut. The guy is a monster. So, no, I absolutely love the way he looked tonight. And again, the most important thing is to see this guy smile and to be able to, you know, just do what he does best. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Greg in Brooklyn, I know Sid Vicious's bio about WWF and WCW. What he did in ECW was totally different of what he did in WCW and WWF. If Sid Vicious would have attempted to do exactly what he did in WWF or WCW, he probably would have got booed out of the ECW buildings. Go back and watch what he did in ECW, and you will see concerted stalking difference. So Sid never left his feet either, I should add. So now we get a little vignette hyping up next week, Thunder Rosa versus Mercedes Martinez, no DQ. Props for AEW now starting to focus on rematches. They realize rematches are good. And we're finally starting to see it, not only just for one person, but we're seeing it with multiple feuds. So we got that next week. CM Punk comes out for his match against FTR. A lot of wondering who's a partner is going to be, and Jon Moxley comes out. And the match, as far as tag team wrestling goes, was outstanding. I mean, we had at one point an attempt at a powerplex turned into a doomsday. We had the typical interference, ring bell to the head of CM Punk, followed by a brainbuster only for a two count. Jon Moxley actually wrestling, you know, doing some dives outside the ring. It's not just straight up hardcore brawling. CM Punk and Jon Moxley, I wasn't sure how they were going to work together as a team, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. And FTR is obviously FTR. This felt, again, like old school. I think if there was any criticism, like I said earlier, it was on Aubrey Edwards. Because, you know, it was not a no DQ. And you have to make yourself distracted. You know, something to just stand there and just watch repeatedly all the stuff and not even attempt to stop it. I mean, Tully Blanchard hitting CM Punk with whipping him with the jacket was comical. But again, if you see all of that and you watch Aubrey Edwards, I mean, she's looking like she's a fan, just taking it in also instead of acting like a referee. But it was an excellent match. Crowd loved it. I loved it. We had one point where the GTS and the Paradigm Shift were almost executed in stereo, but that's where Tully ended up in the ring trying to interfere. A little bit of sloppiness with Punk trying to attempt the GTS on Tully Blanchard. Obviously, Tully can't go up like he used to. People understand why I say that. And while all this is going on, Aubrey is just watching it. But ultimately, we get in stereo CM Punk hitting the GTS, Jon Moxley hitting the Paradigm Shift. they get the win. So now CM Punk will get a rematch against MJF. MJF is livid in the back. Sean Spears is shocked beyond belief. And I don't recall seeing Wardlow. I don't recall seeing much with Wardlow. At one point early in the match, loud CZW chants for Moxley, which was pretty cool. In fact, I don't remember who it was. Moxley was wearing a sweatshirt of a hardcore deathmatch wrestler in Japan. I can't remember who it was. Maybe someone in the chat room remembers. But it was a nice little tribute, too. But really, really fun match. I mean, CM Punk, any thoughts of ring rust? Any thoughts of Punk losing some steps? I think we could say now it is pretty much gone. Of course, he's older. Of course, he's not going to be able to do everything he used to do. But CM Punk right now is at the top of what CM Punk should be at this point in his... Akira, thank you very much, Harris B. It was Akira. So I noticed that, but I couldn't remember who it was. I didn't write it down. We get another segment with the Young Bucks and Adam Cole. And the Young Bucks are a little annoyed that Jay White showed up because they educate the fans that didn't know Jay White and Kenny Omega have been arch enemies in the past. And Adam Cole, you know, he's like, no, you could trust me. You know, when you're Bullet Club for life. Young Bucks are like, he could have at least texted us to let us know that he was going to appear. And then Adam Cole's like, look, I got to do something. You know, obviously it's to set up his match with Hangman Page. So just to plant the seed that Adam Cole is taking things upon himself, which is going to come into play when Kenny Omega does return. And Adam Cole tells the Young Bucks, you could trust me. So are we quietly having Adam Cole create his own elite, and they are going to go up against the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and who knows who else? We might see almost like the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle wars all over again. That's what it seems like. Jade Cargill versus AQA, we talked a little bit about it earlier. It was an okay match. I was very surprised how much offense AQA got in the match. Match was fine, I think, until the last couple of minutes. It just seemed like they were not in sync. And, you know, again, I think Jade Cargill, they have to pull some people on the indies that are more of a bigger name, more of a veteran, that actually can take control of the match where needed, because both of them look lost at times. So what ends up happening is, you know, we get a shooting star press, shooting star press from AQA, the former Zeta Ramir. She gets a two count. And I'll tell you, one thing I will give Jade Cargill credit, she is selling a lot better. She's selling a lot better. But it gets points where she gets up, and they don't know what to do, and she, like, backs off, and then she just charges the person and just clocks them, and it just looks messy. But she ends up just dumping AQA on the mat, hits a finisher. Jade Cargill wins. Now she, I believe, is 27-0. So, Jeff R., I am very much under the weather. I don't know if you're tuning in late. Sick, so sick that I actually took a COVID test, which came out negative. But I have a fever and I have a cold. So I want to get this show done so I can get myself some rest. But it's all good. Serena Deeb versus Katie Arquette in the Professor's 5-Minute Rookie Challenge. Serena Deeb wins in a minute. Katie Arquette, I have nothing against her, but there was one point at the beginning of the match where Serena Deeb turns her back on Katie Arquette. Do whatever you want. Take your shot. And what does she do? She does the waist lock. That is such a throwback of my hotline reports from the late 90s when we would see sometimes on TV where two people were hyping up a feud. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to kill you. No, I'm going to kill you, blah, 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 blah. And then they finally get to meet in the ring, and the first move they do is a headlock. Serena Deeb literally turns her back on Katie Arquette. Take your best shot. And she attempts a waist lock. That motherfucker should have lost in 60 seconds. Not a good match. Look, does this lead? I think, I'm not trying to compare it to things of yesteryear. But is this sort of like the Master Lock Challenge? Is this sort of like the Rodney Mack White Man Challenge, White Boy Challenge? Is this like the Big John Studd Body Slam Challenge, where Serena Deeb is going to keep offering these open challenges and a big name is going to accept? Maybe a Mia Yim, maybe a Toni Storm, and Serena Deeb will be all rattled like, no, 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 that's not what I was talking about. Mark Hicks, welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to the family. So I think this leads to somebody debuting in AEW, a bigger name that is going to rattle the shit out of Serena Deeb, and they are going to last 5 minutes. And that will maybe lead to a feud. That's where I see this going with Serena Deeb. It should be somebody who is not in AEW right now. That's my opinion. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's just my opinion. So now we get the main event. And I got to be honest with you. I invite you, after the show is over, go on Twitter and just look up, just type in the search box Paige versus Archer or Paige Archer AEW, any combination like that. And I find this default of Tony Khan and others for not putting enough attention to this. Sure, we all knew that Hangman Page was retaining, but this was an absolute wild brawl. You had Lance Archer go through a plexiglass, you know, window, whatever you want to call it, near the announcer's table. He is bleeding like a pig. Hangman Page is gushing big time. We had tables. The top rope was taken off. Barbed wire chairs, regular chairs. I mean, Singapore canes, garbage cans, blood everywhere. Blood spilled. I mean, almost on a level of Bryan Danielson, Hangman Page. Jake the Snake Roberts getting involved a little bit. Dan Lambert assisting. And you see why Dan Lambert now is doing a lot of the work, because he can move. He can get physical. He can run around. Of course, he's not used to selling bumps yet, but, you know, he can take the ring rope. You know, Jake is older now, and Jake can't move. He's got issues with his hip and everything else. But, again, this is where I was leading to with social media. AEW Dynamite went off the air at 10 o'clock p.m. And I invite you, you go on social media, and look up anybody that tweeted about Archer versus Page tonight and pay attention to the tweets that show them bleeding. Pay attention to the tweets that show, you know, a lot of the real physical. I'm not talking about the end, because the end obviously was at 9:59. So obviously if anybody was going to tweet the end, it's right at showtime. My point is you had these two guys bleeding 20 minutes before the match was over. Nobody took the time to tweet any screenshots. Now me, because I do a lot of prep, I don't have time. I watch it through my TV. I don't watch it through my computer. I don't have time to screen grab and edit this. I always look for someone else that does it. But it was glaring. It was glaring that literally 5 minutes before the match was over, and I'm doing searches for something with blood, something showing how much they were spilling. Nobody did anything. You might see it at 9:55 and later, but 20, 25 minutes earlier, nothing. And again, I'm not exaggerating. You might find one or two at the most, but usually you see screenshot after screen. And it was almost nothing. And it just seemed like people just didn't give a shit that much until it got to the very end where things really got nuts. But Benjamin, don't give me. I it's cute. I mean, I understand your point. Touche. Well, maybe they were watching the match. Of course. But you know how it is on social media. Everybody's got to get the 500 likes, so they post a screenshot. Come on, Keith Lee, there was 50,000 screenshots of him walking down the rampway. There's screenshots of Moxley. There's screenshots of CM Punk. People are doing this in real time. They do it for Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, everything. Everything. Jay Cargill and AQA got tons and tons of screen caps while the match was going on. This, 25 minutes in, and there's virtually no photos. Virtually none. I'm telling you. I'm not making it up. I would not BS any of you out there. And I put that fault on AEW and Tony Khan, obsessed more about announcement, 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 forbidden wall, announcement, 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 announcement. Fucking make your heavy, your world champion, make it come across that this is the most important person in that company. He is the top dog. I mean, he's had three title defenses, two against Danielson, one against Archer, and the guy has been fucking awesome and gets very little buzz. Very little buzz. Now, they took the top rope off. Dan Lambert removes the top rope to try to eliminate the buckshot lariat. Towards the end of the match, Lance Archer brings in a bunch of chairs. The last chair has barbed wire wrapped around it. Two very fun visuals is one, as the barbed wire is wrapped in the chair and Lance Archer licks the barbed wire. Of course, he licked an area that doesn't have a point. But Lance Archer, pretend this is a fork. Lance Archer, this shit hurts. This points. You could cut somebody open with this. Yeah, the scissors. Scissors. Yeah, because if I open the pack, I want to do it nice and neat. I'm going to go the pussy route and cut it open with scissors. But pretend this is a fork. Lance Archer with the fork, and he's going like this, and people going, holy shit. Well, you see, I didn't just bust myself open, because when you have the fork, you put your hand like this, so the tip is not actually, or you go, because the fork is curved, you hit with the curbside. So you're not actually digging it in, but because Hangman Page's head was split open, blood is all over the fork. So what does Hangman Page do? Licks the fork. He licks all the blood off the fork. I know, absolutely gross, but he's a sick son of a bitch, and I say that in a complimentary way. We knew Hangman Page was retaining, but these two guys had a fucking war. Texas death match, it was a lot of fun. In the end, Hangman Page wraps the barbed wire around his forearm, nails Lance Archer a couple of times. There's two tables set up outside the ring. Lance Archer trying to do the buckshot lariat, but they end up, both of them go through the ropes, through the table. One table broke. Because it's Texas death, answer the 10 count or submission. So as the referee is counting the 10, Hangman Page gets up at the count of 9, rolls back in the ring. Lance Archer does not answer the bell, and Hangman Page is the winner. 2 minutes before we go off the air, he wins. Little celebration. Adam Cole comes out, and Hangman Page is facing the other way, but he senses that someone is in the ring. So Adam Cole turns around slowly, and Hangman Page turns around slowly, and Adam Cole has the AEW heavyweight title in his hand. And did I just miss an alert? I think I just missed an alert. Could someone let me know what that alert was? I think somebody just joined the family. I'm going to have to owe you one tomorrow. So, but Adam Cole hits the ring. He's got the belt in his hand. We're thinking we're going to see the belt shot lariat. But no, Adam Cole just gives the belt to Hangman Page and walks out of the ring. Now, remember, the Young Bucks showed a sign of respect for Hangman Page. So, you know, I don't think this was as much of a sign of respect. Obviously, Adam Cole in storyline wants the title. So that's how we go off the air. You know, Sean Smith calls it an outlaw mud show stuff. I remind everyone that AEW is TV 14. It's not PG. It's a big difference. That's why when people talk demos and they compare WWE program to AEW, it's stupid. Because AEW is not intended for PG viewing. I know for us, it doesn't matter. You know, nobody young should, really young, should be tuning into our stuff. But again, there's a reason why it's TV 14 and not TV PG. You're going to see blood. You're going to see violence. You're going to hear some more derogatory words than you usually do. You might even see a little bit of sexual overtones here and there. But that's what it is. That's what it is. Oh, not my prob. Just subscribe. Thank you, Jeff. Much love. And not my prob. Not, it's not my pube. It's not my prob. So next week, announced for Rampage, well, actually announced for Dynamite next week, is Santana and Ortiz versus Chris Jericho and Jake Hager, and Thunder Rosa versus Mercedes Martinez in an ODQ match. Now, remember, Revolution is about a month away, so we're going to see some more Face of the Revolution qualifying matches. Will we get another debut? There's a lot of rumors of another debut. We will see. And I don't mind debuts, man. If it's people I like, shit, keep signing them. I don't want AEW to go bankrupt. Look, I know some people still think that WWE's purposely releasing so many people so Tony Khan signs them all and then goes bankrupt or doesn't know what to do with them. I get that. But in my opinion, when we see people we like, from Killer Cross to Keith Lee, you know, Jeff Hardy, he walked out on his own. But you see others that were let go too that still aren't doing much of anything. If they get an opportunity at AEW, I'm 100% for it. The more these outside signings take place, the more of the wrestlers that we feel should not be in AEW will ultimately get let go. It is a shame that some people obviously didn't work out, from Brian Cage, Leo Rush, and a few others. But, you know, the big challenge is, where do you release people that are on TV, like I said earlier? Because it is overloaded already. So maybe we don't get a Dark Order segment anymore. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Maybe we don't get down the line. I mean, look, I have nothing against Roppongi Vice, but, you know, AEW saying one of the best tag teams in the last decade. Oh, yeah. So good that 95% of everybody out there didn't give a flying F about them for 10 years. Again, you know, ignorance, you know, on a lot of people, including myself. I never really paid much attention, but they're going to realize that a lot of that is probably takeoff. Not released yet, Jeff. Brian Cage has not been released yet. Rampage this Friday, we got Roppongi Vice versus the Young Bucks. Bryan Danielson will talk. Oh, and by the way, I got a kick out of Ortiz earlier. Where we come from, we don't do this. You know, like, we don't talk. We don't do this. My hand is like, I don't know. It's like Michael J. Fox territory right now. It's like, do it slower. Like, yeah, we don't do this. We do this. But yet they were arguing, remember, with about Eddie Kingston? We should have put Eddie Kingston on a pole. Eddie Kingston on a pole match or on a forklift. Santana Ortiz versus Jake. So we got on Friday, Bryan Danielson will talk. Hook versus Black Lee. And yes, we will see QT Marshall get involved. They think this is some build, like the Rampage build that... No, ultimately, he's going to get who he wants. QT Marshall versus Hook. Robin Renegade versus Britt Baker. I have nothing against Robin Renegade. But the Gun Club versus Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. I mean, you see how they're milking this tag title run? You know, I'm not shitting on the Acclaimed, but we saw it a mile away. They fed them to Sting and Darby Allin. That's it. The Acclaim went from number one contenders. They're going to be out of the top five if they're not already. The Gun Club, the same thing. 42-3. Fuck. They're going to lose the Jungle Boy. And I'm telling you, remember I said, by the pay-per-view, you're going to have Brody King and Malakai Black, number one contenders. That is the toy. That is the new car scent. That is, and rightfully so. They will be tag team champions in no time. So, let's talk a little bit about NXT. Unless you want me to, like, open one of these packs now. It's still sealed. And I know what someone's going to say. DT, don't open it. Put it in a closet. Forget about it for 10 years. Sealed, it'll be worth $500, maybe more, $1,000, because it's a hobby box. The problem is that the top, upper deck, and look, I was very, very straight down the middle with my reviews with the upper deck stuff. I'm a little surprised that I got this. You know, it's a very generous gift for them sending it. But I could tell you that even though it's sealed, this cardboard top, I don't know if you can hear this, it's very, very flimsy. So you could almost see it protruding a little bit on the top up here. So you would have to, like, literally put this in, like, some plastic box, like, to prevent. Because even if that, I think that has to diminish the value. So, well, NXT. Look, as far as NXT, it's developmental. So we don't spend as much time in NXT. But there is one part of NXT that I definitely want to talk about. All right, we'll open the packs in, like, 10 minutes. We'll open a pack, maybe two. And if we find something really, really good, I'll probably give it away. You know, we'll see. NXT, next week is Vengeance Day. And we have some matches announced. I will give you the lineup of Vengeance Day in a minute. But something yesterday with NXT, they had me smiling from ear to ear. And, you know, nothing against, I think it was Kevin from Milwaukee that made the comment Sunday. This is not throwing it in your face. Yesterday on Patreon, I played a little clip from Sunday's sit-down episode because I talked about Sunday Dolph Ziggler. And Dolph Ziggler appeared yesterday on NXT. 2 days before, I professed my appreciation for Dolph Ziggler. And if anybody has paid attention to what I've been saying about NXT 2.0 for a while now, you might remember when AJ Styles showed up, and you might recall that it felt like AJ Styles took it upon himself because Jeff Hardy was supposed to be the one. He was supposed to be the shaman. Jeff Hardy was supposed to make some appearances in NXT. He left. And at that time, it felt like AJ Styles, you know, may have offered or took it upon himself. And I said, this is what WWE should be doing. You bring somebody from the main roster. You bring a veteran in. Give a little bit of a rub. Doesn't mean that they all have to lose against NXT rookies, but it will help elevate them for tomorrow. AJ Styles just did an interview, and AJ Styles revealed that it was his idea to show up in NXT. And I freaking love it because you and I had that conversation months ago, that when you see the stars of tomorrow trying to make a name for themselves, improve themselves, and then you have veterans willing to come in and do a little something. Oh, yeah, you know what? I'd love to do a little with Grayson Waller. Yeah, let me do something with him. That's fucking awesome. That is awesome. It should be praised, not, oh, pop a rating. That's what you heard when, oh, AJ Styles is in NXT just to pop a fucking rating. They don't get it. I saw people today, and this is, again, I love Meltzer. I subscribe to his newsletter. I will never waver from him. But to write down NXT scores its record low rating when you know it's on fucking Sci-Fi, you know that a lot of people are not of course the ratings go down. And then you got the Olympics on top of it. And then to say it's record low when AEW Rampage had to go on a different network and they had the piss poor. I don't remember anybody talking about record ratings. You know, it's just very, very deceiving. And then the best part, I saw so many people today saying, wow, the NXT women's division is worse than the main roster. Maybe I am COVID positive. Maybe they're COVID positive. The NXT women's roster is worse than Raw and SmackDown. No fucking shit. It's developmental. It's developmental. I mean, when are they going to figure it out? So yesterday, in the midst of Bron Breakker having his little contract summit or whatever with Santos Escobar, Dolph Ziggler shows up. And Dolph Ziggler, and that NXT crowd yesterday, you are, even if you're not a fan of NXT, you have to praise that crowd. They know what they're getting when they show up. They don't go on social media after the show is over. Stratton wrestles like shit. Look at all this garbage. They don't, half the roster don't know what the fuck they're doing. They know what they're watching. They know that they're watching developmental. And they appreciate, this is what indies was like. This is underground. People don't realize it, but those fans, the way they're reacting right now to NXT 2.0 is similar to the older fans reacting to NXT 10 years ago. They don't even realize it. Dolph Ziggler shows up, crowd is enjoying it, and the crowd acting smart. Steal the show. Steal. How many of you out there, I didn't even remember that that was his phrase. I know he said it 1,000 times, but the fan, steal the show. Dolph Ziggler gets into it with Tommaso Ciampa, which was hilarious because if I'm correct, I didn't bother looking. I think Dolph Ziggler is older than Tommaso Ciampa. How ridiculous is that? Can someone clarify that? I think Dolph Ziggler is older than Tommaso Ciampa. But they have a little brawl. Crowd loves it. And I've been saying it for 2 years. That NXT needed to go back to its roots and go back to being the developmental. I'm sorry for being a broken record. There is no OVW. There is no Heartland. There is no Florida Championship Wrestling. They need a minor league system. And they went back to their roots. Sure, they changed it. They made all these crazy colors and this and that. Because they don't want people to mix up developmental to black and gold. Black and gold, in a lot of people's eyes, was not developmental. It was an alternative to Raw and SmackDown. WWE is making billions of dollars. In their eyes, not our eyes. I'm with all of you out there. A lot of what we see is kind of shangada. But in their eyes, why does NXT have to be a third brand? Why should that be the alternative? Why would you want NXT to be the alternative where all the money is made in Raw and SmackDown? All the pay-per-views, the wrestlers on it are Raw and SmackDown, not NXT. Why would NXT, that's like me having a 4-star restaurant where, you know, a nice steak is $40 and I'm making crazy money. Even if the steaks are overhyped, even though the cook is kind of like, you know, whatever, you know, even though, but, you know, overall, it's a popular place. A lot of people, I don't understand why it's so popular. And then just for the, you know, I want to develop like chefs for tomorrow and try out other things and here and there. So I open up a tiny little sandwich shop, tiny little place, only a couple of tables, maybe a little bit of outdoor service. We have a little cart outside, a couple other things, you know, little finger foods. And then you get some people that get into that too, and you test something out. Wow, this is really popular. Maybe we could put it on our main restaurant. So what happens? Why would anybody in their right mind turn around and say, you know what? I want the food cart to be an alternative to my big restaurant. Let's get, people don't want to go to the big restaurant. You don't want to do that. All your money is being made from the big restaurant. You make the cart a different option to sample and test and try things, experiment, and this and that. That's why that chick, what's the girl's name? The blonde-haired girl. that almost looks like a Russian from an old Sylvester Stallone movie. Well, last week she's singing and is awful, and this week she's kickboxing. What's her name? Someone in the chat room. What's her name? And people are like, oh, they look what they squashed. They look, they just try to change it. Yeah, that's what they do in developmental. Next week, she might be an opera singer. The week after that, she might be a former actress. The week after that, she might be a Bridget. I know Bridget Nielsen. I'm talking about the NXT girl. The one that's good, Nikita Lyons. Thank you very much, Sophie. Nikita Lyons. Last week, she's singing. Oh. And then this week, she's fighting and kickboxing. Next week, she might be a chef. The week after that, she might be a masseuse. That's what happened. Saray, one week, she's got pigtails and wearing different glasses going like this. And you got people going like this. Sailor Moon. And now they're like, the gray streaks, you know? That's what they're doing. They're testing. We've seen wrestler Andre Chase and others. They're going through, whoa, they keep changing shit. Yeah, that's what you do. Yeah, she does have a body. She definitely has a body. So last night, all right, let's revisit it. This was my predictions of the whole Dusty Rhodes Classic. And I said that the grizzled young veterans with the grizzled ugly teeth were going to win it all. If they don't, they are done with NXT, in my opinion. Well, yesterday, they took on the Creed brothers. The winner goes to the finals. And the grizzled young veterans lost. So the Creed brothers go on to the finals. I don't know what you do with them at this point. I don't ever wish releases on people. Like I said, one member of the Grizzled Young Veterans looks like he's the long-lost brother of John Silver. That if he showed up on AEW, remember the scene in Spaceballs where they had the stunt doubles? They could do something where the Dark Order is attacked and it's one of them is supposed to be John Silver. He turns around and it's this motherfucker. And it just this, it looks like a stunt double. He looks like the lost, the Dark Order member number 22, you know? I don't know what you do with them at this point. I honestly don't know. But they lost. Creed brothers go to the finals. Tiffany Stratton over Wendy Hachu. Tiffany Stratton keeps her credit card. Pete Dunne over Draco Anthony. The feud with Pete Dunne and Tony D'Angelo continues. LA Knight over Sangha. Sangha sounds like a drink. Introducing Sangha. Citrus flavored Sangha. Let me get some Sangha. Saray over Dakota Kai. MSK taking on Idris Inofi and Malik Blade. Winners go to the finals. MSK wins that match. They go on to the finals. So half of mine is still in play. So now the finals is MSK versus the Creed brothers. I will tell you what I think about that in a moment. Mandy Rose retains the NXT Women's Championship, beating Kaylee Ray. Kaylee Ray gets a little, you know, one up after the match is over, but it doesn't matter. Mandy Rose is still your champion. So now for NXT Vengeance Day next week, we have Carmelo Hayes taking on Cameron Grimes. Carmelo Hayes is defending the NXT North American Championship. I guess we could do predictions. Only four, what is it, four matches? That's it? Oh, five matches announced. Okay, let's just do impromptu predictions. I think Carmelo Hayes absolutely retains the NXT North American Championship against Cameron Grimes. We have Toxic Attraction defending the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships against Indi Hartwell and Persia Perota. I see Toxic Attraction retaining their titles as well. Pete Dunne versus Tony D'Angelo in a weaponized steel cage match. Now, because we already have two heels in matches winning, I think Pete Dunne should win this match. Tony D'Angelo, I know there's a lot of people that are annoyed that he has experienced a couple of losses, but hey, this is developmental. This is not, let's build a streak and, you know, make it, when he goes to, no. I'm going to go with Pete Dunne to win this match, even though I kind of have a feeling it's going to go the opposite way. Oh, yeah, Persia Peralta. Yeah, she's got a little Raquel Gonzalez vibes to me. It's going to be a slow burn with her. It's going to take a couple of years. I think 2 to 3 years before she could maybe break out as a single star. But, yeah, I definitely see what you see, Soulfly, without a doubt. Bron Breakker will absolutely retain the NXT championship against Santos Escobar. And then we have the Creed Brothers versus MSK in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Finals. Remember, the winner receives a tag team title match, which would be against Imperium. My honest opinion, I think people forget how incredible Imperium's match was against MSK. I'm going to go with a long shot, and I'm going to go with MSK being a two-time Dusty Classic winner, because I would absolutely love to see the rematch between MSK and Imperium. Give it to me one more time. I know that sounds like a Britney Spears song, but give it to me one more time. Creed Brothers, some people, it almost seems like you either love them or you hate them. I think they're doing okay. I think their days with Diamond Mine are limited. I think, you know, they're not going to be around with them all that long. But I think it's a little too soon to have the Creed Brothers getting a tag title shot against Imperium. So I'm going to go with MSK to win. Yeah, people in the chat room are also going with the Creed Brothers. I'll tell you, it's interesting because I watch a lot of reaction to them, and crowd loves them. Crowd is into them. But I see on social media either people really love them or they, I don't know, I think hate is kind of a strong word against them. I think either people are really into them or they're not into them at all. For me right now, it hasn't clicked yet. But remember, Imperium didn't click for me for a long time. I honestly think Fabian Aichner and Marcel Barthel is probably one of the most underrated tag teams or underappreciated tag teams that I've seen in the last 10 years. You put Fabian Aichner and Marcel Barthel in AEW, they might be one notch below the Young Bucks. That's how good they are. Of course, you know, they're not as great on the mic, but, you know, obviously it's the international vibe, and they are insanely. Look, I know this is going to sound nuts to AEW fans, but you put in a poll, I mean, you can't even put it in a poll because it'd be a popularity contest, but you put the Young Bucks versus Fabian Aichner and Marcel Barthel, that could be a match of the year candidate anywhere. That's how good they are. So underappreciated. Benjamin thinks that they're way better than the Young Bucks. Young Bucks are just different style. It's a different style. I'm not going to crap on the Young Bucks. I finally get it with them. I get it. But totally different styles. So that is your NXT recap and your Vengeance Day lineup and your Vengeance Day predictions. So with that said, two final things before we go. Number one, congratulations to Bryan Danielson. I'm a little bit pissed off because I had a photo of the announcer because I thought the artwork was outstanding. I mean, the artwork that Ring of Honor did for Bryan Danielson was phenomenal. I can't believe I can't freaking find it. I downloaded it the other day. It was a really, really nice little banner for Bryan Danielson. Unless maybe I put it on my desktop by mistake. I don't think so. I don't have it here. So we can't put a banner on the screen. I could probably download it in 2 seconds, but it's all right. Bryan Danielson announced next inductee for the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame. This coming episode of Ring of Honor is going to feature all Bryan Danielson. So far, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about who the first four inductees should be. And so far, it's exactly who we expected it to be. The Briscoes, Bryan Danielson. I think Samoa Joe is a very viable, CM Punk as well. Look, let's be honest. Whoever it's going to be, they want to maximize TV exposure. That's why I don't think Low-Key gets it yet. But it seems like we may get an induction that's a non-wrestler as well. Because remember, there's only 3 weeks of TV. They only announced 3 weeks of TV specials dedicated to the Hall of Fame. Four inductees. Now, I know what you're going to say. The Briscoes were two of them. No. When the Briscoes were announced, everybody was saying there's still three inductees left. There was only 3 weeks of TV. So if you have four inductees, that means one of those four is going to be a non-wrestler. I think it comes down to, is it Gabe Sapolsky? I mean, you think of Gabe Sapolsky, I think it ends up being Gabe Sapolsky. I know you could go more recent, but I think Gabe Sapolsky is the one they go with. So, no, they're not going to go with a current WWE wrestler. They're definitely not right now. I could understand El Generico down the line. I could understand Kevin Steen without a doubt. But right now, no, I don't see that. I think you go back to the early days and, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, next week we'll hear another induction. So with that said, all right, let's do it. Wow. I just broke my freaking scissors. That's all right. Let's do it. Let's open this thing up. It is a hobby box. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I have not had a hobby box of cards since it's been baseball and probably 20 years ago. Because for a lot of you that are, a lot of you already know this, some of you don't. But I used to have a huge baseball card collection. I used to have jerseys. Doug Gentry, no. Not a big enough name, although I do have a lot of love to Doug Gentry. When I went through that table with thumbtacks and got the bottle broken over my head, I showed that on a Thursday show recently. You listen to Doug Gentry's commentary, and Doug Gentry made me feel like $1 million. When I watched the video back, and they wouldn't even put the camera on half of it, and he even said, he goes, why is the camera not on this? I thanked him personally after I saw the tape. I said, you did not have to do that. And he's like, bro, you know, I don't think he said bro, but I think he was like, no, man, it was good. He's like, of course I got to put it over. Guy cared. And, you know, I mean, come on. I'm an absolute dipshit, nobody. And he still made me feel like $1 million. If any of you out there never saw that, go back and watch it. And he was on the commentary, made me feel awesome. Passed away way too young, way too young. So the last time I opened up a hobby box of any cards has got to be over 20 years ago. When I wanted my black Lincoln Mark 7 and I decided to sell everything that I had, collectibles and stuff, you know, I just never invested in cards again. I mean, some people have sent me some cards over the years, and yes, I have lots of autograph. You know, we still haven't given away this AJ. This thing is like $500 right now. It's one of these sold on eBay for about $500 a couple of months ago. But this was sent to me, and this is the hobby box. Now, I don't think there's autographs in every pack, but there's supposed to be inserts in every pack. There's supposedly 16 packs in this box, and there's 8 cards per pack. It does not feel like 8 cards. Now, what I'll do is I'll grab one from the middle. We'll grab one from the middle. Let's take this one out. But it's, you know, I don't think it's going to stay like that. It's okay. That's all right. But I can't tell you, when we used to open up the hobby boxes, and there was another one that was, I don't remember what it was called, but you'd have these wild boxes that every pack had like an autograph in it or an insert, baseball stuff. And I remember just blowing hundreds of dollars on this shit. And then you look at it, you admire it, and then you realize, what am I going to do with all this stuff? It's not going to get me laid. Like, my friends, after a while, got annoyed. They're like, this motherfucker keeps bragging about it. So this is one of the packs. Now, again, Hobby Box tells me that there's supposed to be something good in every pack. So we'll open up one. If it ends up being like a real disappointment, then maybe I'll just give away the packs and that's it. So we have compromised the pack. And yes, I know people that do unboxing on YouTube. They got overhead cameras. They got cameras by their crotch. They got cameras on their chest. No, I'm just going to open it like this. And I'll even just, why is my phone ringing this late? That scares the shit out of me. Oh, boy, that's like kind of making me nervous. Nobody calls my house this late. If my fiance knows it, I'm doing a show. Wow, I'm a little nervous. Well, all right. Well, let's open this pack. Let's see what's inside. Because we're finishing the show anyway. You know, my mom went in for a heart procedure today. I'll explain it on the show tomorrow. But I talked to her at like 7 o'clock and she was on her way home and, you know, she felt fine and everything. So I just hope to God, you know, that's weird. My phone ringing. I'm just seeing if my cell phone goes off. I don't want to end the show abruptly, but go figure. The first pack I ever open up, Colt Cabana. The fuck am I going to do with a Colt Cabana card? Colt Cabana, everybody. Colt Cabana. If the phone rings again, then I'm going to have to go get it. So Colt Cabana. All right. What's next? Is this Taz? You're seeing it before I even do. I think this is Taz. So far, two cards, kind of uneventful, but there's Taz. I see the last card. The last card, you know, doesn't look too bad. All right, so we got Taz. No big deal. All right, is this a gold card? This AEW gold Nick Jackson's hunt for tag team gold in AEW. It's gold. I don't know if it's supposed to. Oh, it's not an insert. I'm looking at the back of the card. It's not an insert, so, you know, it's probably worth like 25 cents. It's not really much of anything. All right, let's see the next card. What is this? Oh, yeah, I gotta send this. Main features. Jim Cornette's favorite female wrestler, Riho. I don't see no inserts. Why is this a hobby box? All right, what's next? Is this Kenny Omega? More main features. Kenny Omega. All right, let's keep going because I know the back card. Jungle Boy, just a regular card. Wow, this is kind of like a disappointment. Jim Ross, and that's it. So this is bullshit. So basically what this means is not every pack has good shit in it because honestly, nothing here is inserts. I thought a hobby box meant that there's like at least one card in the pack that you give a shit about. This is like, I got to do with this. Seriously. I mean, I'll probably just put them in a box and maybe I'll just give away a whole bunch of them at the same time. But yeah, no, this is, none of this are inserts. Maybe because it's gold, but no. Wow, that's kind of like an epic fail. Should we open up one more? Yeah, let's open up one more. We'll open up one more, but I'm not going to keep everybody in suspense. We'll just go through it quickly. Then I got to see who the hell called me this late. But I think if it was something serious, my cell phone would have went off. But it definitely was not my fiance. Why? 11:30 at night? It's a little strange. So, all right. Let's open the last pack. So, what do we have here? Darby Allin, regular card. Lucha Bros, tag team, regular card. Come on. It was about an insert. What the fuck did I care about Stu Grayson? No disrespect. Cash Wheeler, okay. Now, I do see a gold strip, so maybe this is like a gold variant of it. It's not like specially numbered. Chris Jericho, this is a silver strip, so I guess they must have gold, silver, and blue versions. Main features, Akira Shida. What is this? The Butcher and the Blade. Wow, this is a disappointment. So you know what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do is, maybe, as long as nothing happened, think tonight I'm going to open up all the packs. And then either tomorrow or Saturday, if anything good came out of the box, I'll show you. And then maybe we'll give them away. I'm not going to throw these out because, you know, there is 16 packs, 8 cards to a pack. So that comes out to 128 cards. Yeah, I think 128 cards. So there is over 100 cards in here. So I'm sure somebody out there would love a bunch of these. So, yeah, that's what I'll do. You know, barring anything serious happened, I will open them all up tonight and I'll reveal tomorrow and Saturday. Because I know tomorrow, not everybody's a channel member. If everybody was a channel member, I could probably legitimately retire from my real job and just do this full time. But tomorrow's Q&A with yours truly. And then I'm back here Saturday night for the Don Tony Show. So I'll let you know my results. And, oh, Brandon F., welcome to the family. Saturday, I will reveal what WWE sent me. I know for a fact someone is going to want what they sent me. I opened it already, but I didn't take it out of the box yet. But I will say this, if anybody remembers a couple of months ago, I hyped something up that is going to be on sale in the springtime. I got it. No one else has gotten it. I checked YouTube. No one's did an unboxing. Nobody on Twitter has said that they received it. So I must be the first one. And in probably a couple of days, a bunch of other people will as well. So we'll open that up on Saturday and then we'll probably give it away. So it's pretty cool. Trust me. If you're an old school fan of a certain wrestler that might be in the WWE Hall of Fame this year, it'll give you an idea of what part of what I'm going to open is. So everyone, sorry for the abrupt end, but that kind of rattles my brain. Anybody that's on my shows for a long time knows. Anybody that calls me late at night after like 10 p.m., unless I didn't say goodnight to my fiance or something, something is up because there's no reason for anybody to be calling me this late, unless it was a scam call. But I don't recall getting scam calls at 11 o'clock at night. So let me get out of here. Let me see what's going on. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to put the outro, you know, the Goodfellas outro, and while it's playing, I'm going to go inside and grab my caller ID and just make sure that it was nothing. So if it ends up that it was just a scam call or maybe my fiance or something, then I'll come back up here and tell everybody everything is good. If it's something else, you know, I'll probably still come up here. So, all right, let me go throw the outro on. Much love. And, I'll come back. You might see a black screen for a few seconds, but I'll come back and let everybody know if everything's all right. Because I know some of you care. So, all right, let me go see.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're going to like Don Tony. He's all right.
I think it was a scam call. I don't recognize this number, and I'm going to call it right now. Fucking fuck up my show. Maybe it's an ex-girlfriend. I got my number. Still not interested, though. I don't know if they're going
to
answer.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
You know what? Let's Google the number really quick. And if it's a scam call, I'll let you know the number. I'll tell you. Well, actually, you know what? I could get in trouble if it's a scam. I'll just tell you right now if it's a reported as a scam number. Let me see. You know what? It might have just been somebody with a wrong number. I'm checking it right now. Is this for a pizzeria? I know it's... No, it's. I think it's just... Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah, I think it was just... it was a wrong number, everybody. Like I said, I don't want to put the... It wasn't Keith Lee. It was actually my area code, 718. That's all I'll say. But let me tell you something. I think a lot of you out there probably get that feeling like I get, especially as you get older, if you have older parents and stuff. My mom had to get a heart procedure done today. She can't walk even like 30 feet without being out of breath. And a lot of you know that she had major heart surgery. She had a valve replaced with a pig valve like 4 years ago. She was clinically pronounced dead twice in the operating room. Well, she has a hard time breathing. She has sleep apnea. She has the machine. Her oxygen level is low. So they went in and they found today that her left heart is very weak and building up fluid, and the fluid is going in her lungs. So the end result is that they have to put her on like a really powerful water pill. She's got to eliminate all salt, and she's got to do a whole bunch of things to avoid the water, because if she keeps building water in her lungs, it's going to kill her. And I'm not being dramatic about it. I mean, that's what congestive heart failure will do. But what they did, which is kind of weird, I didn't even know this existed. They implanted a computer chip in her lung or by her heart. And what this computer chip does is when she starts accumulating water again, it will send an alert to the doctor or the hospital, whatever it is, that she's starting to accumulate water. And then they will have to obviously address it accordingly. I didn't even know they had something like that. But she had that done this morning. So when you get a phone call at, you know, almost midnight, and I already said goodnight to my fiance. She knows I'm doing my show. She would not disturb me during the show. And if she wasn't sure if I was done yet, she would just go on YouTube and see if I'm done. So whenever my phone rings late at night, I get this horrible feeling that it's going to be a very tragic phone call. And go figure, the day that she's got to go in for a heart procedure, either a wrong number or a spam call called in. So, all right, now we can officially end the show. So I want to thank you all for spending some time with me tonight. Post your comments in the comment section. Let me know what you thought about Dynamite. Let me know what you thought about Keith Lee. How far do you think he goes in AEW? You know, one thing we could say about Keith Lee in closing, this is not a guy that has been in WWE for 15 years. This is not a guy that is in the twilight of his career where he's unwinding, he's settling down, he's winding down, he just wants to have a little bit of fun. No, this is a guy that I guarantee you, if he would have stayed in WWE, his goal was to be champion, heavyweight champion. This is not a guy at the tail end of his career that's just trying to, you know, close it out on a really good note. This is a guy that, you know, some people would feel is entering his prime. Now, hopefully, all the health issues last year are long gone, and he is 100%. So how far do you think this goes? Because, you know, I can close my eyes and envision one day him winning the AEW heavyweight title. And, you know, it's not just a black thing, because I know a lot of people immediately go there. This is a talented, likable, you know, guy that really got a rough break in WWE that, you know, has earned so much where he should be a heavyweight champion somewhere. And I think that would be a really, really special moment in AEW. Will it happen? I don't know. But I'd love to know what your thoughts are on it. So, all right, now I'm officially done. So if you're one of our channel members, you're welcome to join me live tomorrow at 10:05 and be part of the show and help construct it. If not, I'll be here Saturday night at 8:05 for the Don Tony Show. We have a lot of topics to get into. And next week is already the Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia. So next Saturday, We will have an afternoon show recapping the chamber. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks coming up in the world of pro wrestling. So now, tonight, I could open every pack right now with you here, but I honestly think people would get very bored of it very quickly. So I will open them up in my other room, and anything good, I will put it aside. I'll show it to y'all tomorrow, and I'll show it again on Saturday, and we'll see if anything is worthy. And I'll let you know if this is worth getting, because on eBay right now, the hobby box goes between $250 and $300. I opened up two of the 16 packs, and to me, it's worthless. There are autographs in here. There are inserts in here. You know what? Let's open one more. Let's open one more. Let's open one more on the way out. Let's open one more. I almost feel like I can't end the show without pulling something good out of it. With my luck, we get a Cody Rhodes autograph. With my luck, that's what we end up getting. So the wrappers are not going to be worth anything. And I'm not putting up wrappers on eBay. All right, let's see if this turns up anything. I'm just going to go through them. Fucking Dark Order. No. Oh, this is upside down. Okay. All right. We got an MJF insert card. This is, hopefully it's not a part of his underwear. It's a piece of his tights. It is serial numbered out of 50. 28 out of 50. This is MJF. This is ring worn. Oh, this is, I guess, okay, you have received a trading card with MJF's memorabilia that has been certified by Upper Deck. It doesn't say what it is, but it is, it looks like a part of his tights. Yeah, they cut up his tights. Doesn't smell like crotch. Oh, man, I'm touching it. Ew. So, all right, so we got MJF insert, number 28 out of 50. All right, so now I feel a little bit better. Let's see. Frankie Kazarian, sorry. I don't give a shit. Oh, this pack only had 5 cards in it. So when they put inserts, they don't give you 8, so it's actually going to be less. So I got a Kazarian card. I got a Penta card. Oh, these son of a bitches. You asshole. You put 2 Frankie Kazarian cards in the same pack just for that, assholes. 2 Frankie Kazarian cards in the same fucking pack. I guarantee you somebody was laughing saying some asshole is going to get the Frankie. That's what I get. You get the MJF and then they put 2 out of 4 cards. 2 of them are Frankie Kazarian. Fuck you. Should we open up one more pack? Maybe we'll open up one more pack. You know what sucks? I just realized it too. I remember over the years there was a scam where people could, what they would do, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. They would take packs, put them on a scale, and the pack with the insert weighs differently than the pack with the 8 cards. And what they would do is they would go through the hobby box and they would pull all the packs that are a little bit heavier in weight because they know they got something in there, and then they get rid of all the other packs. They actually do that. That is a scam. So, all right, let's open this one. If I get more Frankie Kazarian cards, I'm going to be pissed fucking off. I have nothing against the guy, but my God. Another fucking Frankie Kazarian, SCU. Wow, they're really trying to piss me off. We got Nyla Rose, The Butcher. Oh, this Santana card looks pretty cool. It's not an insert, but I don't know if you could see that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. We got Cash Wheeler, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, Ricky Starks and a Riho card. How fucked up is that? 2 packs in a row, I got 3 Frankie Kazarian cards. Frankie, if you see this, somebody tells you I have nothing against you. I've watched a lot of your career. Let's pull one more random pack. See, too bad I don't have a scale in here. I normally don't keep scales around, but I could probably just put these on a scale and we could figure out which one is like an insert pack. But I want to open up at least one autograph. Wouldn't it be something if we open up and it's an autograph of Frankie Kazarian? Is this what this night's going to be remembered from? We open up a hobby box and we just got showered with Frankie Kazarian shit. Okay. Private Party. All right. Not too bad. Christopher Daniels, Kip Sabian, another Colt Cabana. This is a Nyla Rose card. It's actually pretty nice. It's pretty nice. Not an insert. Still nothing. Still nothing. I don't. None of the cards, if I show them to you, they're really not much of anything. Let's open. Let's keep opening them until we get an autograph. Because now I want to see if we get an autograph. Okay. Cash Wheeler. So far, no Moxley card. No CM Punk. No Bryan Danielson. Sammy Guevara. MJF. I'm not even mentioning this fucker's name. We got Jungle Boy, Hangman Page. Page and Page. Yeah. So far, no autograph. Kind of disappointed. So far, the only insert is that MJF card. So, all right, let's open one more. Hold on. Let's see. Evil Uno, Tully Blanchard, Penta. Ooh, canvas card. This is interesting. But it's not numbered. It's a canvas card. Kenny Omega. It feels like canvas. It's strange. Strange. But it's not numbered, so it's really not worth anything. It might be worth something. Roads to Success. Don't care. Lance Archer, Arn Anderson. You know what was cool about this pack? Yeah, I'll show you what was cool about this pack. Besides that, yeah. Because I think that somebody is obviously either trying to be cool. Look, in the same pack, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, the Brainbusters, in the same pack. Why is this card like, I didn't cut it off. Look at that. Why is it? I don't know. All right. Well, anyway, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Because we got to get at least one autograph. Got to get at least one autograph out of here. There's supposed to be more than one. So maybe we'll get something good. All right, we got Rey Fénix. Yeah, look. Two Rey Fénixes back to back. Nothing against Rey Fénix. Tony Khan's favorite wrestler. I'll send that to him. Yeah, okay. Brandy. Wow, this is... not like the most memorable pack. Oh, we got a Sting signing, and it's probably like the least popular one of them all. So far, I got to be honest with you. $250 for this? I mean, unless the MJF one is really worth something, this is a failure, in my opinion. All right, we're looking a little bit further. We got Powerhouse Hobbs. Oh, here is a Sting card. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait till I show you. Well, this is the Sting card. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, there's nothing I want more than this really beautiful-looking Chuck Taylor card. Please. Did they send this to me to piss me off? There's nothing in this pack that is worth anything. How many packs did we go through, Ray? We don't have too many packs left. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 7 packs left. So we went through 9 packs so far, and the only... this is a hobby box? This is horrible. Unless maybe it goes out with a bang. We got Cheetah. Here's a Jericho card. Nothing. Nothing. Just regular cards. Awful. All right. This one feels a little thicker. This might be an insert card. This might... I don't know. Maybe I'm just being teased. Oh, look, another Brandy Rhodes card. Nice. Tony Schiavone. Seriously, who the fuck does this? Look, here. Look. You see I have the pack in my hand. I got one that's shiny, and I got one that's not. Why would you do that? Look, I got a shiny one, and I got a regular one. Oh, just what I wanted. Two Tony Schiavone cards. Yeah. The motherfucker that blocked me on Twitter, Justin Roberts. Justin Roberts. This sucks. This better be good. This better be good. There's what, 4, 5 packs left? No. Yeah, 5 packs left. All right. Sorry. So this is, I know, like I said, this is not as professional as everybody else, but it's all right. Here's another canvas card. Oh, wait. I see something different. I don't know if it's worth a Ricky Starks canvas card, but this bottom looks a little dinged up a little bit. I don't know. Not that spectacular. What is this? It's a Kenny Omega card, but it's not individually numbered. Top rope? I mean, it looks all right. Top rope card? It's not an insert. It's not an autograph. This is the first Moxley card that I'm seeing in here. That's the first Moxley card. Nothing. Anna Jay. Yeah. Okay, we're down to four packs. Meanwhile, I made a freaking mess on my desk. All right. The first Wardlow card added a whole pack. Nothing. Here is a canvas card of Hikaru Shida. These canvas cards, they just have a different feel to them. I don't think it's anything spectacular. And they put another Shida card in there. Yeah, nothing. So, all right, we're down to three packs. It says look for autograph and memorabilia card. So far, the only memorabilia card is that MJF card. We got three packs left. There, nothing. This is a hobby box? I could imagine what the regular box is. We got a Brody Lee card, which is nice. We got a Brody Lee card. Doesn't mention anything about his passing. You know. Actually, no, it does. It says, Mr. Brody Lee will always be remembered as a champion. The real TNT championship title belt that Brody carried has been permanently retired in his memory. So it's nice. So that was nice. So I'll definitely keep that card. No matter what. This is like a shiny version of that Cody Rhodes card from before. No, the canvas cards don't have a piece of canvas. Just the top of it feels different. They used a different material on the card. It's not memorabilia. Nothing. Nothing. Another Brian Cage card. But we only have two packs left. That's it. No autograph. This is I mean, look, I'm appreciative that they sent me something, but nothing. Taz, here's another canvas card. Britt Baker. It's, like I said, it just feels a little differently. Nothing. Zero. So we only have one pack left. This is an empty box. And this actually said hobby, and it was definitely sealed by Upper Deck. This is the last pack. So either there's something really, really good in this pack. And I just noticed, too, look in the left-hand corner. It does say hobby on the packs also. It does say hobby. So this is the last pack. Tony Khan's favorite wrestler, Big Swall. Sting. Okay. That's about an autograph, at least one. Orange Cassidy, Luchasaurus, an MJF card. Yeah, and there's no autographs. Zero. A Ty Conti, Jake the Snake Roberts. Can you imagine? Not one autograph. This, my friend, is the AEW Upper Deck Hobby Box. I didn't pay for it. So I am very much appreciative, but if I was someone out there, unless that MJF card is worth a couple of $100, that is an absolute ripoff. That is, remember, this is a hobby box. Every pack says hobby in the corner. This is not a box of just, the blaster boxes or whatever they call it. That is an look, I'm sorry for being not as professional opening the packs, because again, I know people have cameras on their hands, open it up, but this was not expected. But if they sent it, there was no letter inside, there was nothing, just a box. If they sent it for me to give a review, my honest opinion to all of you out there, save your money. Or get the regular blaster box, because we just opened up 16 packs of cards. And the only card that should have any value is this MJF, you know, piece of his tights, I guess. I don't think it's his scarf. I don't even know. I'm not going to lie. I don't even know what this is. It looks like part of like the canvas. Unless maybe it's part of his scarf. You know what it might be? It might be part of his turnbuckle. Because I mean, I had a wrestling outfit, and I don't remember anything looking like, you know, I don't know if you could see that. I don't know. I think that was an absolute ripoff. I would not. That box, at most, $99. That's the most ever. I'm sure maybe the price is inflated because it's in demand, but that is awful. That is awful. I thought this could be, imagine, think about this. I'll leave you with this tonight. Imagine my original intention when I said at the beginning of the show, every week we open one pack up. Could you imagine if I spent 16 weeks opening one pack every week? That would be one of the most awful segments in the history of podcasting, period. That is awful. I mean, for fans that want to collect AEW cards, you know, have fun. They're definitely nice cards. But if you're going in there with the idea of trying to get some memorabilia autographs, not even one autograph, come on, Upper Deck. Seriously? I mean, I'm sure this is not AEW's fault, but that is awful. That's a freaking hobby box. That's not a regular box. That's garbage. That's garbage. No way is that worth anything. Well, they don't have the cameras on their hands. No, what I meant is they have a camera shown on their hands, and they're going through the cards, and you see their flabby fingers, you know, and mine are nothing to brag about either, so. I still can't believe we got a scam call earlier or a wrong number, but well, we opened up the entire box, and I am so glad that we did, so we could just bury that segment and never do it again. If I get something for free in the future, I'll be more than happy to open it up and share it with everyone. But if that's Upper Deck's way of trying to get people to buy a hobby box of AEW cards, save your money. Save your money. Let some other moron buy boxes and boxes of boxes of these cards and put together a whole set and then just buy the set off of someone. That is not worth $250. I would pay at the most $99. At the most. So, all right. Now I can go. So everyone have a great night. Much love. And I'll see you all either tomorrow at 10.05 p.m. Q&A. Or Saturday night at 8 o'clock for the Don Tony Show. So be well, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.